The APSM is an occasion to take stock of where we're at as a church, to look back and reflect, to give thanks for the good things that have happened, and to consider if we're still being faithful to Jesus. And I can't think of a better Bible passage ahead of our APCM. Please have it open in front of you so that we can look at some of the verses together. It's on page 1094 in the Church Bibles. Acts chapter 2, this Bible passage, gives a brief and evocative description of the first church that formed after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven. It captures the joy of the fledgling community, and it gives us details of what they prioritized and did together. Nearly 2,000 years have passed since the events of Acts chapter 2. But Acts 2 takes us back to the beginning so that we can measure our church life against the first Jerusalem church. So today we're going to ask, what did this church, created by God's Spirit, devote themselves to? What was the fruit of the Spirit in them? And what example do they give for our church today? Now, this short Bible passage doesn't give us all the answers to that question. It is just a vignette, but it does give us some very important basics. At the beginning of Acts 2, we read that just a few days after Jesus' ascension to heaven, God poured out his Holy Spirit in a special way on Jesus' apostles. A sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then what seemed to be tongues of fire came and separated and rested on each of the apostles. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Many Jews were gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival, 50 days after the Passover. And a large number gathered together at the Jerusalem temple to find out what was causing this sound. The Apostle Peter preached a bold sermon explaining that Jesus is the true Jewish Messiah. And amazingly, 3,000 Jewish people accepted his message and were baptized that day in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Try to picture the scene in your mind. Up to this point, the community that followed Jesus numbered about 120. Now in one day, 3,000 have been added. As a pastor and a church leader, this makes my mind boggle. So today's Bible reading gives this brief picture of the new church formed out of the day of Pentecost, a church formed and created by God's Holy Spirit. Verse 42 is a great verse to personally memorize. I do encourage you to have a go at doing that. It tells us that the 3,000 Jewish people who received Jesus as their Messiah devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that verse is really our anchor verse for this sermon. I want to draw your attention to that word, devoted. They devoted themselves to these things. This means they gave themselves wholeheartedly to these things. Now, the Greek word, which is translated here as devoted, can be translated as spent much time with, persisted in, held fast to, continued in, or persevered in. So the meaning of the word is not so much to do with a feeling or emotion of devotion, but rather it's about a steady commitment, giving yourself to something and continuing in it. The first church was a devoted church, and we should look to be the same today. So let's look at these things under three headings, which you can find on page 2 of the notice sheet. There's room to take notes if you find that helpful. Firstly, they were devoted to learning. Devoted to learning from Jesus' apostles. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, this means that they were a Jesus-focused community, learning about Jesus from the leaders that Jesus himself had appointed, learning from people who spent time with him, those who watched how he lived and listened to his teaching. Now, I'm just going to put my L plate on. Just take a moment here. Here we go. L stands for learner, doesn't it? A learner driver. But central to being a faithful Christian church is that we learn from Jesus and focus on him. We need to be taught. I need to be taught. And you need to be taught. I need to learn and you need to learn. We're all to be learners. And the L plate is a good symbol of this. When the book of Acts was written, the word apostle was a regular word for a messenger. It was used to describe all sorts of people who act as messengers on behalf of others. So it was used in a variety of contexts. It wasn't just a religious Bible word. And Jesus appointed 12 men to be his main apostles. Judas betrayed Jesus, and he was then replaced by Matthias, who'd been with the apostles the whole time that Jesus was with them. So the apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus, and because of that, we can trust their teaching today. But how do we get to their teaching nearly 2,000 years later? How do we get to the apostles' teaching? Obviously, the church in Jerusalem had the actual apostles there to listen to. What do we do? The answer is that the New Testament section of the Bible is the record of the apostles' teaching. And this is one of the key reasons why the Bible is such a treasured book. The New Testament is fundamental for Christian churches today. And this is why we listen to sermons like this one, explaining and unpacking its meaning. This is why we study it in growth groups and the different ministries within the life of our church. We must be devoted to learning from Jesus' apostles, learning individually, learning as families, learning as a church. Sometimes people talk about a church being apostolic. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression. It's an apostolic church. Well, what does that mean? This verse, Acts 2, verse 42, shows us that a key way for a church to be apostolic is to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching about Jesus and to put it into practice. That's what it means to be apostolic. So on this APCM annual meeting day, let's resolve to press on in being devoted to learning about Jesus from the New Testament. Secondly, we look at the fellowship and the breaking of bread in verse 42. The 3,000 Jewish Christians were devoted to being part of the church community. Devoted to being part of the church community. The word fellowship in verse 42, have a look with me, translates an important Greek word, koinonia. Some of you will know that word. Others may have never heard it before. At that time, koinonia was a very positive word. It was used to describe family relationships, and it was also used to describe healthy commercial and business relationships. So it could be applied to all sorts of relationships, and it meant sharing with someone in something. Here it's used to describe the relationships in the first Jerusalem church. And the details of verses 44 to 46 flesh out what the Jerusalem church's koinonia looked like in practice. Here we see financial generosity, meeting needs within the church. That's part of koinonia, of fellowship. We see the hospitality of opening one's home and sharing a meal. That's koinonia, fellowship. We see friendship, we see unity. Let me read verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. It's a wonderful and joyful picture, isn't it? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people discovered that their longed-for Messiah King had finally arrived. This bonded the community so that they were generous to meet each other's needs. They wanted to be together, and there was a daily gathering at the Jerusalem temple. They opened their homes and invited one another to eat together. These are marks of devotion to koinonia, devotion to fellowship. And we want to have these marks amongst us. We can't obviously meet in the Jerusalem temple, but we can meet here. We can invite one another to our homes, and we can be generous financially to one another when others are in need. For us today, it's about devotion to being part of the church community. As I've prepared for the APCM, I've been thinking about how we measure the size of our community. Well, there are 135 names in the church prayer diary. And when we add up those who attend at least once a month on a Sunday, including those who are ill or housebound and can't make it for that reason, there are 138 people. These are the faces and people that you'll recognize as the regular body of the church community. So not including visitors or people who have another church as their home church. 113 adults, 25 children under 18. So 135, that's about the size of our community. But our average Sunday attendance across 2022 was 61 people, 50 adults, 11 children. So our community is in fact more than double the average weekly attendance. This tells us that the normal culture in our church is not to attend every week. I want to encourage you to commit to participate in our church every week. Be devoted to being part of the church community. When you commit to participating every week, something changes in your relationship with the church. You become someone that others can rely on as a brother and sister, brother or sister in Christ. You become part of the church family in a different way, putting church first for the sake of others. Going to church to be church for someone else, to become someone to lean on. When you come every week, you form relationships in a different kind of way with those, as opposed to those who attend occasionally. You get knitted into the church community, and koinonia increases, and fellowship increases. I'm aware that there are so many other options out there for what you can give your time to. And nobody can come 52 weeks a year. After all, we all have holiday, don't we? But this is about a mindset and what you prioritize, making a commitment to be part of the church every week. You may need to change the pattern of your life to enable this. This may be awkward to start with, indeed, perhaps very difficult, but it will bear fruit in time. And if we grow the weekly attendance from 60 people to, say, 90 or 100, it will really change the dynamics of our church in a good way. So be devoted to being part of the church community. Thirdly and finally, they were devoted to praying together. They devoted themselves to the prayers. The NIV translation that you have here says they devoted themselves to prayer, but the original Greek says the prayers, plural. They were devoting themselves to public prayer, praying together as part of the community. In verse 46, we're told that every day they met together in the temple courts. Now, this didn't go on forever. Not so long after Acts 2, a persecution comes and the Christians are scattered. So this is just something for a particular season. But here we see one of the basic reasons why churches across the world gather each week. It's to pray together. We always pray in our services. We've already prayed, and then shortly Irene is going to lead us in our prayers and intercessions. But actually, prayer runs through our service. When we pray, we express our trust in God and our dependence on Him. Central to the life of our church is the monthly prayer focus evening. And we'll be meeting this coming Thursday, the 3rd of May, ahead of the coronation weekend. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is one of the reasons why I see our prayer focus meetings as the key thing after our Sunday gatherings. And alongside this, growth groups are a key part of our life, our church life, when we can devote ourselves to praying together. The Jerusalem church was devoted to praying together, and this is a model for us today. Devoted to praying on Sundays at prayer focus in growth groups. Now, I know that not all of you find this easy. Some of you find it a struggle to pray out loud with others. And because of that, you shun the public praying growth groups or prayer focus. But I do want you to encourage you to try and move forward and move beyond that. We see that this is a basic building block of the early church, and it should be for us as well. So in summary, I've drawn out three aspects of the life of the first Jerusalem church. Devoted to learning from Jesus' apostles, devoted to being part of the church community, devoted to praying together. These three things remain as important for us today as they were for that first church created and formed by God's Holy Spirit. And in conclusion, we see the great importance for each of us of having a devoted heart. These three things are an outworking of the heart. And they're an outworking of the famous command to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. When you devote yourself to learning from Jesus' apostles, you are loving God. When you devote yourself to being part of the church community, well, that's an aspect of loving God. And when you devote yourself to praying together with others in our church, that's a third way to love God. Let's follow the example of that first church created by God's Spirit. Let's be a devoted church. And let's pray to God together now. I'll give you a moment for your own prayer, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we seek you for the work of your Holy Spirit amongst us, renewing us, increasing our devotion to you. And we open our hearts to you now and pray, Father, please will you work in each of us, work in our families, Lord, that we might be devoted to learning, devoted to being part of this church, and devoted to praying together. Please help us and form us by your Spirit to be a church that's pleasing to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.